Testing, 1, 2, 3. Everybody can hear? Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. All right. And please open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. It's in your bulletin, but I would encourage you to have your own Bible or Bible app open to that chapter. All right. And for those of you watching online and YouTube, I think I know who you are. I have an idea, but good to see you, or nice to be seen by you. So also welcome to Josh and I think Yui. Yeah, welcome to our church. I'm glad you could make it. I hope you enjoy the air conditioning. It's the cool air of God's love here. So yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So Matthew chapter 6, and this is part 3 of a 3-part series about prayer. Before we go there, I shared with you last week, I visited a church in Saijo called Megumi Kyokai. And I went there with Jim and Grace and Joyce, and we enjoyed their service and their fellowship. I showed a picture last week of a selfie of me at the church because I didn't have a chance to put on the PowerPoint a short video that I took. So, Dill, if you could please press play on that short video, it gives you an idea of the church. And you can see it's a beautiful church. Dio, could you turn the sound off on the video? Yeah. So, thank you. And then just go ahead and press play once more. I visited this church in 2005, 20 or 23, I guess. No. How long? I don't know. 18 years ago, thanks. I'm not a math major. 18 years ago, visited this church. It was not at this building. It was an old building. And 4 years ago, they built this new church. And you can see it's very beautiful, right? And if you notice in the back of the church, you can see there's a kind of baby room. You'll see at the end of the video, at the end in the back, right there, you'll see a glass part, and you think, oh, that's very similar to Mitaki's church here with the baby room in the back, right? And there is actually a reason for that. When I visited there, my friend Marshall, he showed me a picture of when the church was finally built. They had a shugo shashin, right? A group picture, a group photo of the members at that church when the church was dedicated, that building. And in the bottom corner of the picture, you could see Pastor Hiroshi, the senior pastor of Mitaki. Pastor Hiroshi had a lot of influence on the design of this church because he's very close with the pastor there, Pastor Kato. He's actually a year older than me. And we have a wonderful relationship with him. And I remember, this is a picture, this was just Shugo Shashin of last week, and you could see some of the members there, the international congregation there. This is, I think, Elma. Is that right, Jim? Yeah, Elma. She does simultaneous translation of the service. So everybody who doesn't speak English can get a little radio transmitter with an earphone, and she sits in the top balcony, and she translates the Japanese. They had that translation also 18 years ago at the old building, and I still remember that. Also, one big impression that I had when I visited that church a long time ago was their large high school group. And so what happened was, during the service, they'd have the music and the singing, and then also they'd have the offering and some announcements, but also they would recite two things as a whole congregation, two things that they would recite all together. The first is the Lord's Prayer. And the second thing was the Apostles' Creed. And what I remember about that time when they would recite the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed was the high school group, particularly boys, because at that time, the pastor's son was in high school, and he had brought all his friends to church. And when they would recite the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God our Father, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And on into Apostles' Creed. The ones reciting it the loudest and with most vigor were the high school students. Yeah, in Japanese, they're just as a kind of game, and they're looking at each other, trying to say it louder and louder to each other as the whole church was saying it together. And it turns out, many of those boys who graduated from that high school group are now members of this church, and they are fathers. They have small children in the congregation, and they are the leaders of the youth in that church. So, yeah, beautiful, amazing church, and we hope to visit them again, and we love when they come and visit us on occasion. So I wanted to tell you that because there's a relationship to what we're studying and reading today. This is the Lord's Prayer that many churches recite during their service. And it would be great if we did that. Actually, the Japanese service here at Mitaki, they recite it in Japanese during the service. We don't do it here in the English service. If you want to, we can. Yeah, and if you want to recite the Apostles' Creed, we can. I would love to do that too. Who knows? We'll see what the Lord does. But anyways, let's take a look and we'll read it together, and then we'll have some meditation on it. Okay? So, let's read from verse 9 to verse 15. Ready? Let's read. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wait a minute, Pastor Chris. I know the Lord's Prayer. There's something missing here. The last part in the Lord's Prayer, it's not in this scripture. Right? And also, when we were singing today in the song introduced to us by Bodin, the end of the song includes this part. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's not in the text, right? Well, where does that come from? Why do we pray that? Because many of you who know the prayer, you're thinking, where is this? Why do we pray this if it's not in the scripture? So I wanted to give a short explanation of the end before I give the explanation of the rest of the whole. So that part there, this part is called the doxology. Doxology is like the ending part of a religious or Christian ceremony or gathering where, for example, I pray at the very end, the blessing, and that's called the doxology. It's kind of oshimai, right? So the doxology, the part where it says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen, that's from a text called the Didache. Have you heard about the Didache? No? Great. Let me tell you about the Didache. I love that. I love teaching something new. So the Didache is Greek. It actually means teaching, Didache, right? So the word didactic, teaching, comes from Didache. And the Didache is the abbreviation of the title, the Lord's Teaching, or Didache, of the 12 Apostles. And that title is actually an abbreviation of a longer title. And the full title is the Teaching of the Lord to the Gentiles by the 12 Apostles. So the short title is Teaching, or Didache. It was written, most likely, in the first century. Most scholars believe that it was written in the first 100 years. And a few scholars believe, no, it's later, in the second century. So it's mostly agreed that it's right at the same time that the Bible was written. And so you wonder, well, why not? Why was this not included in the text of the whole Bible? Right? In fact, the Bible that we have today, the books in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it didn't come fully formed, dropped out of heaven. Some angel came down and said, here are the books from the Old and the New Testament. It wasn't like that. The Bible that we have today was not decided by a group of men in a secret room who were saying, wow, if we want to make a religion, what should we use? This one. Okay, let's make the list and let's make everybody use it. That's not how the Bible was made. The Bible that we have today is a collection of works, of stories, of books, of letters that were written by people who loved God. Some of them were direct apostles or direct disciples of God, or of Jesus Christ. And these letters, books, and stories were collected, and they were often passed around amongst these communities, these small groups called churches in the first, second, and third century. And they would pass them around, and every time they would gather on the first day of the week, Sunday, they would read them out loud. They would share them with each other. They would explain them to each other. And so there's these books, these collection of books that many of the churches would use all around, from Alexandria in Africa to Constantinople in Turkey to Antioch, Jerusalem, and even Spain, in Rome. And so all throughout the ancient world, the churches would use all these books in common. Now, one of those was the Didache. And around the third century, the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, were thinking, well, how should we decide which one's the best? And so they would write letters to each other. And they would say, what's the Holy Spirit teaching you? What's the Holy Spirit telling your church? Which books do you read at your church? Which books do you read not at church, but at home? And so they would form lists and share them with each other. And the leaders, they're called the church fathers, would consult with each other openly, not in secret. And they would have documents that you can read online for free if you wanted to. It's no secret. It's no big conspiracy. It's wide open. And at around eventually the 3rd, 4th century, the church was thinking, these are the best books to include in their Bible. And then it was codified. It was set a little bit later than that. So the Didache was one of those books that was right on that list, but didn't make it. And we would say it's because the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, said, it's okay. There's some books you read at church, and the Didache was one of those books that you read at home. And there's a lot of those books. So, now let's talk about that text. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. How did they come to that? Well, the closest scripture with those words would come from the Old Testament, from a book called 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. And it's a prayer to God. And it says, yours, O Yahweh, or Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted as head above all. And so many people believe that the Didache, whoever wrote it, was referring to this scripture and thought that would be a fitting end to the Lord's Prayer. And so that's where the church has come to use it. Most Catholic churches don't use it. Actually, Catholic churches don't use it in their sermon, or in their, in their service, in their mass. Orthodox churches use it, but the priests use it as a prayer, not the congregation. Protestant churches, like us, most of us, when we recite this prayer, we use the last bit, the doxology. So, just in case you were wondering, that was a 10-minute explanation of why we have the doxology. Okay? All right. So, now, the prayer itself. You know, I was meeting with a friend for dinner, a long-time friend, and we hadn't met for a while, and we were talking about theology, and just theology is the study of God, the study of the Bible, and we both love the subject of God and the Bible and theology, and so we were both just encouraged because we are both growing. I'm 47 years old. I've been a Christian since I was 12, baptized at 12. I started teaching the Bible when I was 17. So I've been teaching the Bible 30 years. Is that right? The math? Is that right? Okay. 30 years. And it's still new. There's still things I'm learning. And I was so excited. We are both talking about, you know, even though we're in our 40s now, it's like we're in the ocean. And there's one lagoon that we have discovered with fish and coral. Big fish, little fish, beautiful colors, beautiful water. And just we can look and find new kinds of sea life between plants and, you know, sea, whatever. All these things we're just discovering. And it's like amazing that the more we look into this lagoon, the more we dive in, the deeper it goes. And we're discovering you could go deeper and deeper and deeper and still not reach the bottom. And that's only one part of this lagoon, which is only one part of this great ocean of theology. That's what this prayer is. Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray. And he makes it so simple, so beautiful, so elegant, no words wasted. But the more that you meditate, the more that you recite, the more that you use this prayer every day, the deeper and deeper you go, the more you discover, the more life it gives, the more you learn about who you are and who God is and your relationship to him. beautiful prayer. We've only spent 2 weeks. We've barely started. And this is our third and final week, and I feel like it's not going to be enough, but we'll just do a brief survey of the seven parts of this prayer. So you can see there, it's seven petitions. Good number, right? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Each petition could be one sermon, but let's just take those seven petitions and put it in one sermon. Jesus, his amazing ability to make something so complex be simple, it's the opposite of my ability. My ability is I make something simple difficult to understand. Yeah, that's my gift as a teacher. So anyways, so the first part, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed means honored or respected. Excuse me, I'm going to step forward. Hallowed means to be honored. So when you first pray, you know when you're watching a soccer game and the soccer player scores a goal and he's running and sometimes he kisses the mark on his shirt, right? There's the club symbol, crest, and he'll take that symbol and he'll kiss it, saying, I love my club, I love my team. And so you're praising me and you're looking at me for scoring the goal, but I'm doing all of this for the glory of my team. Have you seen that? Sometimes other sports, my sport is basketball. And if a player scores an important goal, he'll take his shirt with the name of the team and he'll push it out like this. He says, this is for my team. Honor my team. Glory to my team. The name of my team is right here. And when you pray, Jesus says, everything you're doing, your whole life is for the glory, the honor, the praise. Not of you, but of him, right? Hallowed, honored, gloried, praised be the name of God. That's how it begins. Your kingdom come. Recently, this is my favorite part of the prayer. Your kingdom come, O God. So like I've said many times before, I'll be saying it until I die. The hope of a Christian, the reason I'm a Christian, is not so that when I die, I will go to heaven. That's not the Bible. Okay? That's Gnosticism. That's Plato. That's Aristotle. That is what many people believe in Japan. Actually, around the world, of a spiritual being that when you die, you know, Plato says an orb, a sphere, will rise to the ultimate reality. And Jesus says, no. The Bible teaches when God made the earth, he made it good. The land, the water, the plants, the animals, he made it good. We made it bad. And so the whole story of the Bible, the end of the story, is when heaven and earth become like this. This is earth and this is heaven. We want heaven to come. We want the king to come and make it all one. Where the injustice, the oppression, the evil, the hypocrisy, the lies, the betrayal, the pollution, the death, the disease, the plagues, gone. Why? Because heaven has come to heal the earth. Goodness has come to take away the evil. Beauty has come to spread around. That's what you were praying for every single day. Oh God, let your kingdom come. And so, when we love our neighbor, when we help the poor, when we make something beautiful to share with the world, whether it's music or art, when we program something on a computer to bring the order of heaven here on earth, when we're teaching people, whether it's students or adults, truth, we are enacting this prayer that the order, the beauty, the truth, and the goodness of heaven will come to earth. That's what we're praying for every single day. Let your will be done. So the title of the sermon, I think, is in your bulletin, Negotiation versus Submission. Yeah, two kinds of religion. A religion that tries to use God, and a religion that tries to serve God. Even in this church, even in this room, there are two kinds of people. The one who's trying to use God, and one who's trying to serve God. How do you know which is which? By the prayer. The one who's praying like this: God, if you could help me find this job, I will give you whatever you want. God, what does it take? How much do I give? How much do I pray? How much do I come to church? What do I need to do so that you will make me happy? Give me peace. Make me satisfied. Right? That's not going to God for God. That's going to God for what you can get from God. You're coming to the table not for the master, but for what's on the table. But there is a different guest who comes to the table not for what he can get on the plate, but for the master himself. And so the prayer of the one who is serving God says, God, you don't owe me anything. I owe you all of it. I have nothing that you need, but you have everything that I need. It's not that everything is that. It's you who I need. Lord, not my way, not my will, but yours be done. So it's funny, we have many times, you know, in the past. Okay, let me use a different example. Okay. It's interesting, this new concept. Well, it's not new, it's very old. So, okay, yeah. I just saw recently on social media, someone declared that technology is our new savior. We don't need religion, we don't need church, we don't need God. Technology, education, that will make humanity better. And so, you know, there's a picture of Elon Musk, and he's not carrying a cross, he's carrying an X. I think he made a new kind of program, X. And so he's carrying the X, and the caption says, here's our savior, Elon Musk, not carrying a cross, but carrying the X to save us. That's what it says. Social media. And he used, what will save us is technology. That word technology comes from techne. Techne was one of the old words for magic. And what's the point of magic? The point of magic is to make reality conform to you. But the old wise men, the old sages understood, the fool wants the whole world to conform to him. But the adult, the mature person, understands that he needs to conform to reality. Amen, somebody. Right? The child, the first grader, I want this, I want that. give me air conditioning, give me ice cream. Every day, all day, twice on Sunday. I want what I want, and you bend to me. But when the child grows up, becomes mature, and understands how life is, I'm the problem. It's not they are so bad, or that person is so rude, or this group of people is against me, or this society is so... No, I'm the problem. I need to adjust. I need to change. And the Christian says, God, you made this world according to operate according to your principles, your rule, your law. I need to adjust to you. I'm not here to negotiate. I'm here to submit. And the more I can submit to you, let your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. The most basic. Jesus is talking about, obviously, your physical health, your physical needs. But then he has this conversation with the devil. The devil tests him. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus, you're so hungry. Provide for yourself. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from God. So Jesus is pointing us to that story. And he's saying, not just your physical, material, daily needs, but your spiritual, psychological, spiritual needs. God, I'm going to work today. There's that one student. I have to meet him today. You know we don't get along. I need today's patience. I need today's love. Not yesterday's is done. I need today's grace. Give me today my daily bread, right? We come to God daily for that. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others. This was so important. Jesus elaborates in verses 14 and 15, right? And what does he say? He says, oh boy, anything that involves humans and humans need forgiveness. Any kind of operation, any kind of organization where it's one person and another person, at one point, somebody needs to apologize. You could be friends. You could be spouses, husband and wife. You could be coworkers. At one point, whether it's the first day, second week, third month, somebody's going to make a mistake. Somebody's going to say something hurtful, right? Yeah? No? Am I the only one who knows this? Come on now. And you know somebody has to apologize, right? Somebody needs forgiveness. Even God knows that. And he says this, what it says, forgive us as we forgive others. God says your religion is useless if you can't forgive somebody. What is the point of all of this? Praying, singing, giving, meeting, if you don't know how to forgive. That's what he's saying. Now here's what I'm learning, something I've learned, as somebody who has difficulty forgiving somebody. If you have a problem forgiving someone, it's because you think you're better than them. Yeah. Just think about that. Who is that one person that you have trouble letting go of? Who lives rent-free in your mind? Who is that one person that you just feel like, urgh? Is it possible that you think you're better than him? Here's why I say that. Forgive us as we forgive them. The more I meditate on that, the more I realize, oh, it's saying that I am just as bad, I am just as evil, I am just as hurtful as him. And I need just as much forgiveness, just as much grace as he does. I am no better than him. But the more I think I'm better than him, the less I can forgive him. So Jesus is teaching us, humble yourself, receive God's grace, understand you are on the same footing as that person. Now, I just want to encourage you. It's difficult to forgive, right? This is a daily prayer. I'm going to show you at the end of the sermon one way that helps me learn forgiveness. It's not that I'm complete and perfect, but I'm learning. And I want to disciple you. I want to show you a little bit on what's helping me recently, okay? So, verse 6. Lead us not into temptation. That's the sixth one. Okay, not verse 6, excuse me. The sixth petition. So, I just want you to know something about this word here. Temptation. It's hard to translate. It's used in other parts of the Bible. It's not just temptation like, ooh, I really want that chocolate donut. Oh, yuwaku. It's temptation. It's my desire. Okay, it's not that. Okay. That's part of it, but that's a very small part. Okay. The way that the Bible uses temptation, another word it uses is test. Test. And the teachers here know what test is, right? It's to show you what you really know. It's to show you who you really are. Have you really studied, or have you just been procrastinating, sleeping, blah, 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 right? So, for example, in other places, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you go through temptation or testing of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces fruit. And there's another one where in Peter says, don't be surprised when you face difficult, fiery temptation or testing or trial. And it says it's a fiery, hot, painful test. And he says, because you know that the suffering you go through. So now he's saying the testing comes with the suffering, right? So that's how Jesus knows his people understand it. So he's saying when you pray, it says, lead us not into testing, suffering, trial. So Jesus wants us to escape the test, escape the trial, run away from suffering. Is that what Jesus wants us to do? Lord, you took the punishment so I don't have to suffer. I'm the head and not the tail. I declare today that I'm blessed and highly favored. I don't need suffering. I need new clothes, new jewelry, more money. I need a new car because I'm a Christian. I don't suffer. I'm a child of God. Is that what he's saying? Right? If you have enough faith, you can beat cancer. If you have enough faith, you can live in a nice house. If you have enough faith, you'll find the man or woman of your... Is that what he's saying? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver me from... No. Jesus is saying, you can expect temptation. You can expect trials, suffering, difficulty. And what happens is, here's what happens. In a test, there's those who pass and those who fail. The test is something that makes you go through it like pure gold. Or it's the test that turns you into powder, crushes you. It overcomes you. It throws you out into the garbage. Right? That's the test. And Jesus is saying, Lord, lead us not into being overcome, into being crushed. Lead us not into being rejected because of the temptation. When we go through it, when it comes to us, the disease, the pain, the bitterness, let us not be overcome by it, is what he's saying. Do you need to pray this every day? I do. I do. Lead me not into being overcome by the evil, but, the last part, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver is the word that is used of the Exodus in the Old Testament, when God delivered Israel out of slavery. There's the Pharaoh, evil, oppressing, exploiting the weak, the poor, the foreigner. And God says, I'm going to deliver you out of Pharaoh's hand. So you pray. So in our version says what? The evil one. In other versions, it just says deliver us from evil. It's a difficult word to translate. It could mean both. The one who is evil or evil itself, evil in general. So Jesus, what it means is, deliver us from doing evil because of the temptation, or it means, deliver us from doing evil because we are overcome by the evil one. Either way, same meaning. Lord, deliver us out of slavery from evil. Deliver us out of slavery from these habits, these thoughts, this pain, this bitterness. Save me, O God. Trust in salvation. Okay. That is just the surface level 20-minute explanation of the seven petitions. It takes more. You need more. I just want one more thing. I want one more thing for you to look at, and then I'll close it. Notice the pronoun. Us. Our. Right? Yeah, of course we pray in private. We pray in secret. We pray one-to-one with our Father. But it says, right? Us. Give us today. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Brothers and sisters, we pray this together. So there's lots of churches who pray this every week because we understand we are not alone. We need each other. We're praying to God for each other and with each other. You cannot be a Christian by yourself. I have my Bible app. I have my favorite YouTube pastor. I have my author. I don't need church. There's a bunch of hypocrites, losers, and weird people at church. Yeah, you should feel at home with those people. Yeah, you need those people. You cannot do it by yourself. That's just the last thing I wanted to look at. Okay, now, for those of you, this is the third time, forgive me. I'm not trying to sell anything. As you know, I'm giving these away for free. So, what is it? They're prayer ropes called Komboschini or Chotsky. They are not rosaries, but they are similar to rosaries in that rosaries have beads, And each bead represents one prayer. But this is not a bead, a rope of beads. This is a rope of knots. Each knot represents a prayer. Now, for those of you who have not come in 3 weeks, this is your first time encountering this. I have explained this 2 times already, okay? Especially last week, if you're interested, I explained the reason why I started making these, and I explained the basic use of these and how I use this when I pray. I don't need to rehearse that again this week, okay? I just want you to know these are ropes and bracelets of various sizes and colors that I have made. This is my hobby. I make this, I used to say every night, but recently every other night or so. My personal project is to give all of these away to the Japanese congregation on Christmas. It will be my personal Christmas gift to the church world as a whole. But you get first dibs as my beloved English congregation. Yeah. So what I want to do today to close our service is not show you how I use this for prayer, which I described last week. I want to show you how I use this for meditation. Meditation. When I'm angry, when I can't forgive, or when I'm trying to remember scripture. Okay? So, yeah, there are either 7 or 10 knots between each bead. And I'll start with one bead and I'll say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me. That's called the Jesus Prayer, which is the prayer that the Orthodox Church uses. And then when I'm thinking about forgiveness, I'm thinking about the one who hurt me. I'm thinking about that student that just doesn't want to be a student, right? Right? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on so-and-so. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, forgive me of my sins as I forgive dare-dare-kun. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive her for what she did to me. And I do it again and again and again. And I let the grace of God fill me so that when I meet that person, I can give the grace of God to that person. I let the love of God fill me so that I have resources to give to someone else. That's one way I use to meditate on the grace of God. The second thing that I use is for memorization. And so, simple. You should be memorizing scripture, not verses. So, for example, humble brag, okay? In my house, when I teach my children to memorize scripture, we memorize chapters at a time. Yeah. So our project for this year is Psalm 8. Not that long. 14 verses. And so, of course, I'm not telling them to do something I don't do. I memorize scripture, too. This is how I memorize scripture. Right? So I'll take one bead, and I'll go, for example, I don't know, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And every time I repeat it, I'm meditating, and I'm learning the meaning. It's not blank or meaningless repetition. The purpose is like a drill. I want it to drill deeper and deeper. Every time I say it, I'm rotating the drill deeper into my heart. And it's just a simple tool for repetition. And when I get to the bead, I review. Whether it's the verse, the passage or the scripture or the paragraph, whatever it is. So very useful. For me, meditation is like brushing your teeth. Yeah. You know, your teeth feel dirty, right? You get gunk on them. When you brush, it feels so clean and so smooth, pika pika. You need to brush your heart. That's meditation. It's brushing your heart. Just every single one is a brush. Okay? So, again, this is free. The gospel is free. So you take this free. However many you want, whatever color, whatever size, you want a bracelet, take a bracelet. You want a, you know, bigger one, take, you want to hang it on your mirror on your car, fine, that's okay. It's not decoration. You want to put it around your neck, it's not fashion. It's for prayer. Yeah, so use it for prayer. If you want to take one to give to someone you love or as a gift to family, take all you want. And if you don't like the color or the shape, and you say, Pastor Chris, can I get one this big in that color? I'll be happy to take requests. Yeah, the gospel is free, right? So for those of you who have not gotten one, please come. You can, after the service, and make this available. I'll just lay it out on the table. And if you took one last week, but you don't like it, you want to trade it, go ahead. That's fine, too, okay? So they're called prayer ropes. So anyways, yeah, this is the end of our series on prayer. So next time, I'll be coming back from the Philippines. We'll be going over fasting. You'll really need the rope when you're fasting. By the way, next Sunday, we have a guest speaker, a missionary from Mustard Seed Church, Patrick Boyle. He's spoken here before, so he'll be preaching next week. So we're looking forward to that. Okay, we're over time. Please forgive me, and let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, drill down your words into our hearts. Help us be better at praying, submitting, worshiping, living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise as we sing our closing song together. Thank you for filling this place with your people and your love. But Lord, as we go now, Please fill us with your Spirit, that as we are filled, we'd have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a great week. Before you go, please come and get your prayer rope. Okay. Amen.